As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
That ends up being the game-winning goal at Johan Franzen. The Henrik Zetterberg Show, you name it. The Detroit Red Wings put on a clinic against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at Air Canada Centre. A 4-1 win for the Red Wings as we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you. And just want to let you know as well, we will take your phone calls. Leafs Nation postgame, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And Ozzy, not just the game we can talk about, ugly, ugly, ugly. And I always say this is like we're going to the subway, although we would have gone to the subway a few minutes early. But I just heard Jeff Sammet, George Rustick talking about the whole thing about throwing a sweater on the ice as if it is a federal crime. It is reprehensible. It's the worst thing that ever happened versus, you know, the old days of the Montreal Forum, when someone would always throw like one of those galoshes on the ice or something, their hats and you name it. And I'm not talking about pelting with beer cans and bottles and stuff like that, but I would be more concerned that there's been two games that stunk so bad at home that somebody throws like a $150 sweater on the ice. Like, I mean, it's not going to hurt anybody. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it was Joe Bowen who mentioned the other night, I bet you he wished he got his sweater back after they played very well against Colorado, right? But you know, again, the fans have a right to show their displeasure. And you know what? It's been so interesting, has it not, through the first five games that things were in such shambles after, you know, the first two games. And yep. Then all of a sudden, wow, hey, two games later, we're back in feeling pretty good about ourselves. Yep. And then what we feared.
Shambles.
Was, you know, here we go again. It's just too much of a... there's just too much of a gap between playing poorly and playing well. You know, there's just not
enough. There's no happy medium.
There's no happy medium. There's not enough consistency. You know, tonight, too many passengers. Where is some emotion? I mean, this is a home and home, right? I mean, you're playing a team in your division, in your conference. Yeah. And, you know, you've got a little bit of momentum on your side. And then you just... you know, I don't know what you thought or what your, you know, real true feelings. Like, I don't know if you're able to share your feelings, but, you know, again, it's just like, wow, you know, I can't believe it. Really.
Well, you know, you go back and, I mean, you played for the Red Wings and you played for the Leafs when they were Norris Division rivals. And even when they both weren't good, I love the rivalry. It's actually the last bench brawl they ever had at Maple Leaf Gardens was between, were you in on that one? But when Brad Park was coaching the Red Wings and Eddie Mio started beating up Miro Inichuk, like Eddie Mio went for the easiest guy there. But, and then you of course remember some other playoff battles. You remember Mike Allison scoring, Red Wings coming back from 3-1 down in games. And then of course, 1993, mm-hmm. Nikolai Borshevsky. So then you have all these years that they were the good soldiers for the league and went to the Western Conference, kind of got misplaced. So we didn't see them so much in Toronto. Great. They're back in our conference. Do you want to get as excited as the fans are about playing them? Like the last year, the two games against the Red Wings when they were at least were slip sliding away out of the playoffs were very similar to this abomination tonight.
Yeah, you know what? But I blame the Red Wings and the way the Red Wings do play the game.
Oh, so you'd like them to tone it down a bit?
No, they don't tone it up at all. You know, they have no reason to tone it up. I mean, they are such a structured, disciplined, and in some respects, very simple hockey club. I mean, they're not the Red Wings of old. You still have got, you know, Datsyuk out of the lineup. I mean, they're one line. I think, you know, Nyquist, you know, who had 28 goals in 57 games last year.
What a call-up.
Now, that's a call-up. But again, he was on for all four goals for the Red Wings. And, you know, they're such a good team when it comes to just simple puck control. You look at that lineup. Come on, you look at that lineup and you say, you know, half of that team could be playing in Grand Rapids, you know, and yet it's the way that this organization and the structure and Mike Babcock, what's expected, you know, there's a lot to like about that, even though I think they far exceed anybody's expectations year in and year out.
870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with Leafs Nation postgame. on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, a 4-1 win for the Detroit Red Wings over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And curious about the burning question about a sweater being thrown on the ice, whether it's a fan with its right
well,
to...
Well, it was a FNUF jersey, yeah, by the way.
What was the one last time? Was it generic or something?
Yeah.
Had some, like, Shmomo on the back, some name that nobody will wear. I don't know. But I go back to way back when, going, did you ever go to the Toronto Marty games when you got, remember the old Cracker Jacks?
Yes, I was there, Gord. Okay. I was a Shopsy Peewee, by the way, and got a chance to go to the Gardens
practice
and watch the
for
Marlies.
Free.
Exactly.
Okay, so
yep.
Do you remember what was in the box of the Cracker Jacks?
No.
There would be, remember there was a prize?
Okay, yes.
Popcorn,
yep.
Peanuts, whatever. Yep. Anyway, at Maple Leaf Gardens, there was a slip of paper that said, due to the danger of throwing it on the ice, you got no prize, right? So you got no little stupid chintzy, a thing that couldn't hit the ice anyway if you threw it. So I'm all for not any putting endangering guys and all that kind of stuff, but I just find it a little interesting about one. You're just encouraging guys to throw sweaters down the road. They're going to feature it. Greg Milne's going to talk about it. So
what do you prefer? The waffle? Do you prefer the waffle?
That was a good one-off, you know? That was original. Try today. But, again, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings, and you see why this is the gold standard, the Red Wings, as far as an organization goes, for consistency for so many years. And the other thing, Ozzy, and Jeff Blair was kind of busting me about it this morning, and I did throw the question at Kenny Holland at Hockey Central this afternoon. And when Mike Babcock met the media today, the Red Wing PR guy said he will not talk about his coaching situation. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of stuck it to Holland a bit. But this is topic du jour. And let's face it, Mike Babcock loves that his name's in lights and being bantied about. Brendan Shanahan being here, all these other things. So people are trying to tie it together about being Toronto.
And if you're Mike Babcock, you're loving it because why not leverage this?
Sure.
You know,
this is his one chance.
And what about Kenny Holland? What about his contractual situation? Where is he at?
Oh, he just re-upped on this.
Oh,
the
he
summer.
Did. He did. Okay.
About a four-year deal. So he's okay. Good. And in, you know, Babcock's case, it's an interesting one because he can get money, power, a new challenge, all these types of things. Yep. And
it's not tampering, right? Like, it wasn't tampering that the Leafs made that call this summer.
To
Detroit.
For Mike Babcock?
Well, just to inquire. I mean, that's not tampering?
No, it's not tampering. Okay. If you ask for permission.
Okay.
If you ask for permission, it's not tampering.
Oh, so you just pick up the phone call and say, excuse me, Ken, it's the Leafs calling. I just want to know what your plans are for your coach.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happened.
So they made that call? And they hang up the phone laughing.
Interesting.
Tampering is after, and then also you can't get guys involved in trades anymore when...
You have to prove it, though. There's so much stuff that goes on. Come on.
No, but tampering, there's zero tolerance for it.
Really?
And the Leafs...
When's the last team that's tampered? Do you remember?
Leafs got nailed for talking to someone to Bob Gainey or something in Dallas, and they lost a fifth-round pick or something, and you had other teams that
recent,
lost.
No, recent. Not about 20 years ago.
That
like
wasn't about... That was, there's more. I was working my way up. But okay. Let's go to Bob in Hamilton. I'll think of some more. Hey, Bob.
Gord, how are you?
We're outstanding. Unfortunately, the Leafs weren't tonight, but we are.
I understand. Gord, as a former general manager, my question is to you, how does one go about finding out about players available from other teams?
Well, they can just listen to us. I thought that last week. Boy, the rumor mill's unbelievable what's going to go on, but guys keep it close to the vest nowadays. More to answer your question, it's... You know, and Ozzy kind of knows it as well. It's a never-ending process that as you talk to guys, and now you can do it so many different ways, but when you used to go visit, David Poile was an ex. I'll use an example years ago, which Ozzy doesn't like, sorry. So go visit David Poile in his office, of course, whether it's Nashville, but back then it was Washington. Chit-chat about everything. And then basically he asked what guys he's interested in.
Yeah.
And then you talk about some guys that you could be interested in. And then you go back to your pro scouts and try to figure out what guys could be a fit that aren't so much a fit somewhere else and could be a better fit in your place. So you've got all these pieces. It's like a big jigsaw puzzle that you're always gathering information, gathering scouting reports, and then you kind of massage it and figure it out and make a deal. And you try to make any deal that incrementally improves your team. I know everybody looks for the home run, but even if it just incrementally improves your team, you're going to improve.
Right, because what I was trying to drive at, Gord, is how Gar Snow was able to acquire a Johnny Boychuk and a Nick Leddy. And I realized they were salary dumps from other teams, but how could he go about getting – wouldn't they look great in Toronto, those two guys, versus a Robida and a Roman Polak?
We're running those guys out after five games. Well, and Ozzy, I'll let you jump.
Even a Dion Phaneuf. Get rid of Dion Phaneuf somehow, that $7 million contract.
That started five games ago. Well, you know, those ones we'll defer right now. But, Ozzy, we talked about on that Saturday, a week ago Saturday, when those guys went to the New York Islanders.
I was totally surprised. Was it not?
Yeah, new ownership, right, for starters. So Garth Snow's lucky that the new owners who decided that the most valuable player you can have is called cap space. Mm-hmm. And the Islanders had it. The Leafs don't. Last year, Montreal had it at the trade deadline, got Thomas Vanek. And the Islanders had it, and they've got new owners that have said we're willing to spend money.
Yes, and, you know, with, I mean, give kudos to Garth Snow for, I mean, he gave a good pick for Johnny Boychuk. I mean, a second-round pick, right?
Yep.
And then it could turn out to be even another pick, right, depending on what happens.
It was what the Bruins did was that where the Bruins protected themselves, and this is where we give Peter Chiarelli credit, that if he were to trade, like turn around and trade Johnny Boychuk back at the trade deadline this year to an Eastern Conference team, the Bruins would get an additional second or third-round pick.
Right, right, right.
So that was a good one because sometimes you could look at it that, okay, the Islanders could leverage it and all of a sudden get more out of it. So it was a smart pick.
Yeah.
So what are you saying?
That's what Brian Burke should have done.
Tyler Seguin, no question, Phil Kessel deal.
Right.
Well, you look at that. We talked about that St. Louis, Colorado deal a few years ago. Is that okay? Deals like 2-3 years ago, or is that too long ago?
No. Okay. That's better.
The Shattenkirk deal and all those guys and Eric Johnson and that. Mm-hmm. And they both had certain numbers that the first round picks were flipped. And there was a kind of thing like top 10 protected or top 15 protected or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's something you should look at doing if it's reasonable at the time of the trade.
But, I mean, the question from Bob from Hamilton, you know, how do these rumors get started? I mean, there's all sorts of things, not only GMs talking and or, you know, guys doing their homework and asking the right questions. And there's the agents that are involved as well. I mean, it's agents that are also doing a lot of the talking and or not happy with a player in a certain place and wants them out of there. And, you know, so those things have a habit of forming and getting it all sorted out.
Well, that's what you talked earlier about tampering. Agents are precluded from it. It's not a problem. So if an agent talks to you and says everything, and, you know, my client, I'm representing Mark Osborne. So I could, and Mark Osborne's at another team. So I could talk to Brendan Shanahan or Dave Nonis and spill my guts, and which would be tampering if it was anybody else, another, you know, club official.
But they're doing that right now. You've got, you know, think about the agents that have players that are going to be UFAs at the end of this year. Say Matt Zuccarello, for instance, with the Rangers, right? Mm-hmm. If you're representing Matt Zuccarello, I mean, you're talking to GMs all the time.
Absolutely.
Saying, you know, do you like him? You know, what's going on? Well, I got to get this player signed, but what about Matt? What about next year?
Well, and then at the trade deadline, you'd like him to land into a spot like Marian Gabrick did last year in Los Angeles or Marty St. Louis did in New York, that it ended up being a positive experience. So there's all those things that are going on. So 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And again, to pick up from Bob, it's hard. You know, this is a night where tomorrow night, whoever Randy Carlyle's thinking of sitting out, he's got no problem, including Jake Gardner again. I mean, it's Bob basically nailed Polak and Robida and Phaneuf. It was a horrible night for the team, a horrible night for the defense.
The defense, you know, in general, I mean, you look at Cody and Dion, you know, paired up again. This is game number 3, right, for them together, because it all started in New York. So, yeah, I've got 2 wins, and yet Franzen was minus in New York, by the way, in a 6-3 win. You're minus, okay?
And a lot of power play goals, though.
Oh,
both ways, I guess.
No, but you're still minus.
Yeah, I got you.
You're minus 5-on-5.
Gotcha.
Well, the issue isn't power plays, because this team has had the ability to be able to deliver on the power play. It's the 5-on-5 play. It's just the passive stuff that's going on defensively. You know, once again, you know, against a Red Wing team that you know, basically has one line. You just got to play against that one line and shut them down. How'd they do? Not very well.
Oh, you can give me a chance to answer. I was going to say not very well as well.
You know?
That's an easy one.
But, I mean, I'd just be chomping at the bit to play against that, you know, Zetterberg, Franzen, and Nyquist line. You know, if you're a third-line guy or you're the top-pairing defense, like, talking about an easy night for those guys, do you think that Franzen and Dion Phaneuf put the fear in any of those three?
You?
Well, no, you're right. Like you said, Zetterberg
well, I know
plus
I'm right.
three.
I know I'm right.
Gustav, no, you're not until I confirmed it. Nyquist plus, yeah, it was. It was funny because that line was kind of like a lot of ways, a lot of times the way the Leafs won last year, one line, right? One line getting all the offense. And, Zetterberg and Datsyuk, I know Datsyuk's still out, but good on him because there's a lot of question marks about these guys being washed up and their best days have come and gone. And he certainly showed, although he had a tough night the other night against Boston, he's still got something in the tank.
I'm gonna get myself in trouble, you know, once again, because you know what? Your best players, your leadership group, those that are getting paid the most amount of money, I think should be held more accountable than the rest of the guys. Okay?
Why are you getting in trouble about that? I agree with you.
No, because, you know, just because, Gordon.
No, well, last time you were talking about being hard on the captain. No, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, and I'm still going to do it again because I just don't think that he is providing the necessary leadership at a time when if you feel the team is just off a little bit, isn't that your responsibility to somehow, you know, get a spark for your team? Okay, hear me out here. You're playing against the top line, okay, night in and night out. And Dion is what, 6'3", 2.25", right?
Thereabouts, yeah.
Came in the league with a reputation of, you know, give, you know, big hits. And, you know, what's he doing? You know, jabbing at Justin Abdelkader. One hit on the night, okay? One hit on the night.
Mm-hmm.
As a defensive top shutdown pair, that's one hit against a divisional foe, really. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Who were the best captains you played with?
The best captain I played with here in Toronto in my career.
Mm-hmm. You know? Just in general, I'm curious, like about a captain and what they did along the way, just whether, you know, little things and that kind of things, having the right way about them to say something, do some action, whatever may be to make a difference.
Well, I'm gonna start from near the end of my career. Of course, you know, after I left the Leafs, I went to New York and played with Mark Messier.
Yeah.
You know, and there's the epitome of a leader, right?
Beyond the obvious, or maybe
beyond
it's just the obvious.
Well, you just asked me who are the captains I played with.
What is it about it? What is the mystique about Mark? I mean, all these years later, Mark Messier's still looked ahead of guys like Gretzky and Lemieux as the preeminent model of a captain.
I think just the edge and understanding when the game is on, the way that you approach the game. You know, Mess in practice and everything else, you know, he really did pick his spots, you know, as far as the way that he approached practice and stuff. He wasn't the greatest practice of player, but I think he understood, you know, what was going on the team. He understood where the team was at. He knew how to, I think, you know, push guys or give a look. You know, you don't have to say very much. You just give a look. Okay, I'll go back to, say, you know, Wendell Clark, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Wendell didn't say a lot, you know, but the stuff that Wendell did out on the ice, I'm not saying Wendell was one of the best captains I played with, but, you know, Wendell was a guy who led by example. Wendell Clark, when he needed to score a goal or drop the gloves or change the momentum of a game, he would do that. You know, Dougie, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wore his heart on his sleeve, right? Yeah.
Now, let's get on NHL.com for a second. Take a look at some of the scores, out-of-town scores. I will tell you, on the Toronto Marlies, got this from Matt Brown, our intrepid producer. 3-2 win in overtime in Hamilton. Spencer Abbott had the overtime winner. He got a goal and assist tonight. So good news for the Marlies, American Hockey League affiliate. And taking a look at the games going on tonight. Nashville, Winnipeg, 2-0. Nashville leading Winnipeg. That's in the third period of play.
Oh, so you decided to do this? Okay,
we're going to go back and forth.
Okay,
Mike Ribeiro and James Neal.
Well. Are you doing, you know, games in progress, or you don't want to do the finals?
A little bit of both. Do the games in progress first, then finals.
Okay, for the Connor McDavid sweepstakes, Florida goes into Buffalo and wins 1-0. That must have been really exciting. Sean Bergenheim with his first, 3:31 of the second period. Enroth takes the loss, Roberto Luongo with the win.
Columbus beats Calgary 3-2. Let's see. They had a 3-1 lead, then a couple late goals. Mason Raymond's got 4 goals already for the Calgary Flames.
Okay.
And again.
That's nice.
And gave a
very nice
and Luongo 67 shutout passes Patrick Waugh. Patrick Waugh may be playing in goal for Colorado pretty soon, the way the injuries are going. And then we've got 2 games in progress.
Yeah, and there's no score in either of those 2 games. Minnesota's in Anaheim, bagels so far. It's only, you know, 6 minutes into the game, and Vancouver and Edmonton at the end of one period, surprisingly, there's no score.
Well, that could be ugly tonight.
Like
ugly.
In what regard?
In Edmonton?
Well, it's in Edmonton, right?
I know. If Edmonton loses and gives up a ton of goals tonight, it could be ugly.
Well, so far, so good, because their forwards are not allowed to go beyond the offensive blue line on the forecheck.
So they're playing for the 0-0 tie.
Okay. And there's no more games. There's no more finals.
That's it. We don't make it up then. We'll come back. Okay. We'll talk more about, unfortunately, the final tonight. 4-1, the Detroit Red Wings over the Toronto Maple Leafs at Air Canada Center. Don't forget, tomorrow we're back at it. Mark Osborne and myself for Hockey Nation. Saturday, we'll be talking from 5 to 7, take a look around the NHL. Then we have the coverage. The Leafs hopefully can bounce back tomorrow night as they take on the Red Wings in Joe Louis Arena. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
As it cleared into the Toronto zone, the Leafs to our right, Red Wings to our left. A 3-on-2 developing as it's brought in over the line by Leo Komarov. A backhand score! Mike Santarelli!
That was kind of the unexpected spark early in the third period of play. The lone Leaf marker made it 3-1, though. The Red Wings came back with one more. A 4-1 win for the Detroit Red Wings over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Our man Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us. And, you know, it's funny. I think Ozzie had a good line. Chris, you have many good lines, Ozzie, just so you know. But just after five games, the Leafs seem to have to find a better level of medium rather than the two extremes.
Well, certainly. And especially these games at home, you know, I think that these in some ways are some lost opportunities for the Leafs. And you know, that's been a real point of emphasis from the coaching staff, is to be playing better in these games. And it's almost like there's a, you know, it's something that's hard to quantify in any way. Certainly the numbers the Leafs management are running might not show up, but the atmosphere in the building, you know, on a night like this, and you see another fan throw a jersey on the ice, you know, the team getting booed off the ice pretty, you know, heartily after the second period. You know, all that stuff wears on them, and I think in some ways it's good that they're looking ahead now to three straight games on the road and a chance maybe to play a simpler game and just get back to basics a little bit here.
Chris, you know, for the most part, the storyline this week was Jake Gardner. You know, come Wednesday morning, it wasn't the Leafs' victory against Colorado. It was Jake Gardner being a healthy scratch again. Back in the lineup tonight, how would you rate his performance after getting back in the lineup?
You know, I thought he was decent. He didn't wow me in any way, but, you know, I thought that he was pretty solid, all things considered, you know, back here tonight. And you know, we saw him on the, I think it was the third goal, I guess it was, you know, maybe with a chance to tie up the guy, but, I mean, it was a great pass by Zetterberg. You know, I think it's been a tough week for Jake. And, you know, really my personal thoughts on this is you know, all he needs to do is get more comfortable and play happy, so to speak, and not be worried that every, you know, part of every little thing he's going to be doing is critiqued out there. Because, you know, what we've seen, you know, a lot more defensemen of his ilk now around the league, guys who create offense. And I think that their value is tremendous to the teams if they can move the puck, gain the offensive zone from time to time, clear the defensive zone. You know, there's value to that, even if there's some mistakes that come with it. And I think for Jake, it's about getting back in there now and just, you know, hopefully for his sake, not worrying too much and being able to play as he can, because we've seen when he's really expressing himself and doing that he can be a difference maker for the Leafs. And you know, for tonight specifically, I think maybe it's a start in that direction, but we have to see more of it.
You know, I was saying to Ozzie as well, when I say we, Leaf fans, wanted to see Leaf Red Wing games again. Loved when they were in the same conference, weren't for so many years. Welcomed it. And then it's amazing the Leafs have had their worst efforts against a Red Wing team that doesn't have Yzerman and Lidstrom anymore. I mean, they're still the gold standard as an organization, but they're not a Stanley Cup champion anymore. But they really seem to have the Leafs' number.
Well, they do. They play well as a team. You know, I think that you see a good five-man effort almost no matter who's out there. You know, for the Red Wings from time to time. You know, I don't think many fans would even recognize Andrei Nestrosil, the fourth line center, you know, ostensibly for the Wings tonight. But when he was on the ice, they didn't give up much. And you know, I think that that's a credit to the, you know, the organization there, and obviously to Mike Babcock and the players that they've drafted. And you're right, it's been a tough thing. I mean, I think it's good for the rivalry. You know, I certainly remember even back when Mark was playing for the Leafs and the Red Wings were far more of a rival than they kind of been the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. But now that's going to be reborn. And I, you know, personally, I like this idea that they play each other again tomorrow night in Detroit. I had a chance to ask a few of the players before the game, and they didn't seem to like it so much. But, you know, I think it, for the Leafs, especially after an effort like this, it really gives them a chance to go back and you know, atone for this a little bit. And I certainly expect to see a more emotional game with the two teams playing again, you know, just 24 hours from now.
Chris, there was a lot of familiarity on each of the four Red Wing goals tonight. I know that, you know, the Pollock giveaway, you know, was the Franson first goal. You know, the Franson second goal, you mentioned a great pass that Zetterberg makes to Franson, and yet, you know, kind of walked around Jay Gardner, Santarelli, not in the right spot. You know, same thing on the final goal, Cody Franson kind of watching. Is this a, you know, basically, could you fault this as the play of the defenseman, or is this still an ongoing theme, you know, for the collective group out there on the ice without the puck, that the Leafs are just being very, very spotty in the early going?
It's collective group still, but for me, you know, tonight I do hang this on the guys who play defense, because so many of those goals, you know, were scored right from the area directly in front of the net. I mean, sort of the most obvious area where a defenseman is taught to cover his man and to be aware of what's going on around him, because that's obviously the most dangerous spot. And you know, I thought that too many of the goals were too easy, frankly. And, you know, it may not have been James Reimer's best night, but, you know, I don't pin this loss on him maybe as much as some, because I just feel that those goals, that, you know, he was kind of left out to dry on too many opportunities there. And you know, I think that was, it was certainly part of Randy Carlyle's post-game message, was just that they have to really buckle down and, you know, not have that. And a lot of it, you know, I think it's kind of like it flows downhill for the Leafs. I mean, they weren't able to establish anything close to the sort of forechecking cycling game they had with some success against Colorado on Tuesday. And then, you know, they're spending more time in their own end. I think it's more difficult to play there, obviously, and these sort of things happen. I mean, to me, where the complete team comes in is if they do have to find a way to command the puck a little bit more in the offensive zone. And tonight, you know, one of the big concerns was those turnovers, and I think ultimately we saw that manifest itself with some easy goals in front of James Reimer from the Red Wings.
I guess the initial word, Brandon Kozin, about getting an MRI tomorrow, and looks like he could be out for a little while. So just when his career was getting going, it looks like a bit of a setback.
It does. You know, Randy Carlyle thinks it's a high ankle sprain, but, you know, that'll have to be confirmed by the MRI. And certainly that was a tough-looking play. I mean, if you saw the shot they showed during the telecast of the Red Wings bench, I mean, you could tell it didn't look good. And, you know, seeing him get his left leg pinned sort of awkwardly behind him as he got, you know, hit into the boards by Kyle Quincy. And you're right. I mean, we hadn't really seen a lot of Kozin, certainly not as the mark he made in preseason. He hadn't had the chance to do that the same, I think, playing in the fourth line role so far this season. But, you know, it sounds like it'll be a tough setback for him. But maybe on the flip side, an opportunity for either Carter Ashton or Matt Fratton, who've kind of been sitting here waiting most of the year to you know, make a stronger statement than they were able to in training camp, because both had a chance, you know, at the job that Cozen's essentially in right now and lost out. And you know, I guess that's always the corollary that happens in these sort of situations, that maybe one of those guys can provide a spark and show a little bit more life than they did during the preseason.
That is for the guys up front, or possibly one of those two will get slotted in. What about on the back end? I know Stefan Robida, healthy scratch tonight, and it'll be – somebody will be healthy on the back end again tomorrow night. Do you think he draws in, and any inklings on who comes out?
There was no hint provided, but, you know, based on if you're looking at tonight's game, you know, I would think that Roman Pollock has, you know, the potential to be taken out. You know, he really did struggle, you know, taking penalties. That the giveaway, as you mentioned, he was on the ice, I believe, for three goals against tonight. And, you know, if there's going to be a little bit of meritocracy employed here, I wouldn't be surprised if it's him that draws the short straw bring Robidoux back in. I mean, obviously both are right-hand shots, and so it doesn't necessarily disrupt kind of the flow that they have there. But I wouldn't think with a veteran like Robidoux that they're going to want to keep him out much longer. And similarly, I don't imagine they're going to go back to Jake Gardiner. And to me, Stuart Percy's still playing well enough to warrant a spot where he is. So, you know, I do think that you'll see a change there. And as I mentioned, Randy Call offered no hint at it, but, you know, purely my own speculation. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Pollock had to sit out tomorrow night and watch and see what they can do without him.
You know, you mentioned about the Leafs probably happy to get on a bit of a road trip right now. The concern, though, is, Chris, last 2 years they played really well at home, and now they're 1-3 to start the season. And I know that home and road records don't have the same, you know, disparity like they used to. It seems pretty homogenous in a lot of ways. But, you know, they have to find a way to get back and hopefully make that building rock like it did against the Colorado Avalanche. But, you know, beyond that, they've had two pathetic efforts and, you know, one unfortunate one against Montreal.
Well, and that's the thing. And I don't think that we're sort of beyond the point where they should expect any kind of warm, you know, homecoming here, quite frankly. I mean, it's clear people are upset. I mean, it's been a decade, I guess, since they made the playoffs in a full NHL season, just the lockout shortened year where they got in. And you know, I think that you're seeing a lot of that frustration that's sort of built up over time. I mean, it's still, you know, everyone take a breath. 77 games left, and they're 2-3, and they've shown some good things, and there's certainly been a couple of bad efforts. But, you know, we're far from kind of getting a real sense, you know, where this team is at least from where I'm sitting and watching. And you know, but they can't just count on it here. It's not going to happen. I think that there is a sense that there's a lot of frustration in the city about the team right now, and they're going to kind of have to go out and prove it. And you know, maybe on the road is the place to do it. You know, they put in a good effort, I thought, at Madison Square Garden last Sunday, the only road game they played thus far. And you know, really have a chance when you look at this week's schedule. I mean, the Red Wings, to me, even though they look like it tonight, aren't actually a far superior team, I don't believe, to the Leafs. If the Leafs are playing at their best, and they go to Long Island where the Islanders are off to a good start, but you know, they're not one of the league's heavyweights just yet. And then they go to Ottawa, where Toronto's had a whole bunch of success in recent years, and is another team again that they're going to have to be ahead of if they're going to make the playoffs. So, you know, I look at this kind of mini stretch of schedule here as a chance for them, you know, to make a little hay and get back on feeling positive about themselves before they play at home again next weekend.
Chris, always appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And you asked him, Ozzie, about trying to get some, you know, and it's funny hearing about, let me finish my thought, who's going to play tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to all kinds of different ideas. First of all, please, no seven defensemen. I heard that kicked around. I thought, come on, you got to give Matt Fratton or Carter Ashton or, you know, a chance or something like that. You got extra forward. So figure that out with Cozen's injury. And then, as we've said, there really are, aside from Stuart Percy, and he certainly wouldn't sit Dion Phaneuf out, you're really open to set anybody else out tomorrow if you're looking to who deserves to be sat out based on merit.
Well, you know what? And you can, I think it was an easy case for Stephane Robidoux. And I think everybody was very accepting of it. You know, that, you know, apart from that exhibition game that he did have, I mean, it's been a little bit of a struggle for him. So easy decision in many respects. But now you think, okay, Roman Pollock, he's our next addition on the back end that was supposed to solidify the back end. And he's been average at best, you know, -3 tonight.
Yeah.
You know, looked out of sorts. I mean, this is nothing to question his, you know, his commitment and his passion. He's blocked some shots. I mean, he had a, you know, went to the net hard near the end of the game, you know, uncharacteristic for a defensive guy, but he's milling around and he's showing an effort. And yet, you know, his play has been spotty. So you got to think, well, gee, you know, here's our two guys we brought in and they're going to both sit in the first six games of the year.
Yeah, you know, what we have to remember is why were they available? And that's not, I mean, if you've got a blue chip defenseman, you don't trade him. You don't. And meanwhile, you know, like I again, go back to the 93 team, for example, I thought first Floyd Smith and Cliff Fletcher did a great job adding a Bob Rouse, a Dave Ellett, even though it cost them Mark Osborne, Eddie Olchuk, a Jamie McCowan, to go with, I'm missing one other, Sylvain Lefebvre, mm-hmm. right? Four different, none really big deals. I mean, McCowan was part of a big deal, but Doug Gilmore was the bigger player. To go with Todd Gill and a guy like Dmitry Mironov, but really they were just playing five guys on the run there. And so those were more established NHL players that helped you. But I mean, that the sum was greater than the individual parts in that case. And that's kind of what the Leafs are looking to do here. And that's what the best you can hope. These guys aren't going to be all-stars.
Yeah, you know what? And the common thread in each of those guys that you just mentioned and that were acquired and brought in here, they all had character. They all played with some bite. You know, there was, and yeah, the sum of the group was very good together because of, you know, the style of play, the coach. I mean, lots of factors factored into that. And yet each of those guys, you know, really would go to war. I mean, you know, Bob Rouse, Jamie McCown, Sylvain Lefebvre, and then, you know, Todd Gill just coming into his own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, they helped Todd Gill. He was the one survivor that came into his own. A guy like Ally, afraid he wasn't here by then. And I do think that both Robida and Pollock have character. I do.
But it was also the style of play, you know, and it was the commitment and it was the leadership and it was, you know, buying in to play without the puck. Now, who started that? Who was the Selke Trophy winner that year?
Doug Gilmore.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, Leafs for 40. Okay. Go ahead.
Right. No, but that's my whole point is like when you have willing forwards that are going to do what's necessary without the puck and they're your leaders. I mean, look at the Selke Trophy winners over the years.
Mm-hmm. Winning teams. Yeah.
There you go.
Guys that do it. But so, back to it though.
Anyways, it's a combination of things.
And I don't quibble with those two guys coming. I'm talking about Pollock and Robida.
Yep.
I think off season, we or a lot of people get excited about the best of the best of the best and what they can bring and all that and a new name. And it means hope springs eternal. But if the team, and that's what Randy Carlyle, and then you can have all the, quantitative stats you want. They have to play better defensively. They have to be aware and know about coming back behind the blue line and team defense and getting it out and all those particular elements. So as you say, if doesn't matter who the two, if you have the two best defensemen in the league back there, but the forwards aren't coming back, you're screwed.
Absolutely. And that's been the broken record, right? I mean, that's what we have seen these, you know, last year for sure. And now this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best game that they played was against Colorado.
Absolutely.
Say that.
Okay, absolutely.
The Ranger game, there was a lot of positives. You know, it was your power play. But then you also look and say, who are the Rangers missing? No Stepan, no Boyle on the back end. Rick mm-hmm. Nash had to leave early, right? No Mads Zuccarello, their leading scorer last year. So, you know, and Lundqvist was off. But yet, you know, I know we're beating some things to death, but there are some, you know, similarities and factors that have emerged once again early in the season.
Well, we'll come back. Look at Dan Hamm, who's just got hurt here in Vancouver. So we'll check that out, but we'll also get you the out-of-town scores when we return. And Damian Cox will join in as 11 and much, much more here from James Reimer and Randy Carlyle as well. A 4-1 loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Red Wings winners. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
For Zetterberg, carrying into the corner, down in front of the net, they score! Nyquist has his fourth of the year. He has scored in every Detroit game, and it is 3-0.
I think he's scored in every period he's played against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gustav Nyquist with his fourth goal of the season, as Joe Bowen mentioned. A 4-1 win for the Detroit Red Wings over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll hear a little bit of time from Randy Carlyle, James Reimer, and Mike Santarelli.
Did you get a chance to check out Damian Cox's shoes tonight, what he was wearing?
No, have not yet.
No.
Have not yet. We're going to...
Just curious, you know, because I know you're a fashion guru, right? You notice those things.
Oh, I know. I notice a lot of things. I notice a lot of things about friends like Damian, guys like Elliot Friedman. Damian's going to join us in a couple of minutes time as well. He'll talk a little bit analytics and other stuff that's going on. Of course, he's a busy man nowadays with the Sportsnet package and Hockey Night in Canada on Saturdays as well. And again, looking at tonight's game, I'm trying to think, you know, a couple positives. I don't know where they are for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, you know, the third line, probably. You know, they got you a goal early in the third period, 21 seconds into the third period. You needed a bit of a spark. I thought they provided a spark.
And Carlisle must have thought that because he started them right at the start of the third period for Santarelli from Komarov and David Clarkson, and Clarkson's first assist of the season. So, again, it's about, what, five steady games that he's had.
Yeah, and so you were looking for positives. Is that a positive in your opinion? The third line had consistent play. They've been probably the most consistent bunch of this Maple Leaf team. And if your third line is your best line, then we have a problem. We have problems,
yeah.
Houston.
Yeah, that's right. You want them to play.
Houston, we have a problem.
Well, Toronto, they have a problem, as they said. But the third line gets the one goal tonight. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And, of course, the stable of excellent Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada commentators that we're getting. And, you know, part of it, Ozzie, just to honor them, trying to think of different theme songs or something to bring them on. And how about this one? How about that? Yeah. That's it. That's it for our man. Yeah, Damian wow. Cox. That's it. The Imelda DeMarcos of hockey broadasters.
This is it. This is it for him.
Are you wearing them tonight, Damian?
No, Ozzy wouldn't lend them to me for tonight.
Is your closet like Dion Phillips was in 24/7 when you open it? It's just like shoe after shoe after shoe.
Well, you know, you got to do something to make a difference. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Now, so, I want to ask you about one sweater tossed on the ice. Can you remember a night, Gord, when there was more than one sweater tossed on the ice?
Yeah, and I want to warn Leaf fans, I became general manager after that. Okay, that's how desperate it was.
Was that against the Red Wings, too,
yes,
Gord?
Yes, in the playoffs. Okay. And the thing was, it was 1988, and it was the playoffs. And it started getting kind of giggly, and it got contagious, didn't it, Damian? And then somebody, a puck went in the crowd, and a fan threw it back like Wrigley Field in Chicago. The fan threw the puck back. So yeah, that was like sweater night. What do you think about one little sweater on the ice? I mean,
I had a big discussion with Nick Kiprios on our post game tonight, and for two things. First of all, one guy throws a sweater on the ice, and because what? He's had 20 beers, or he's got lots of money to throw a sweater on the ice, or, as I'm getting information, it was actually a guy who's a Montreal fan. I got the guy's name and phone number, and I haven't talked to him myself. But apparently he thought, you know what? I know how I can get a reaction from people. I'll throw a Leaf jersey on the ice. So that's sort of about what I think of the whole thing.
Now, Damian, before we get into the game tonight, I do want to, you know, ask you if you are taking the angle of the analytical side of things out of interest, or are you being forced into that because Kipper just doesn't want to go there?
Well, you remember, Ozzy, late in your career when you had to do things you didn't want? No, that's not true. You know what? I'm one of those guys, and the line I've used a couple of times, I'll use it again, but I hope it applies. Smart people change their mind, and I think the analytics stuff, I like to think I'm a smart person, and I think the analytics stuff, which I kind of dismissed before, I'm sort of seeing more of it. Some people think it's everything. I think it's probably part of it, and I think some of it's kind of interesting. So am I interested? Yeah, and I think it's, you know, on our broadcast, and I think it's up to us to talk about it to some degree and to try to explain it to people who don't know that much about it. I don't think, you know, the people who are really, really into it aren't going to learn anything from me, that's for sure. But I think it's worth talking about. I don't know how you guys feel.
Well, I think you got to bang on in that, you know, Damian, everyone's looking for quick answers, whether it's Brendan Shanahan coming in as president or Mike Babcock coming next year as coach or, you know, whatever it may be. Or now figuring out that Pollock and, you know, Robitaille aren't going to be Norris Trophy winners, so they're pissed off, right? I mean, just everyone. So the analytic thing, I think everyone now thinks it went from 0 to 100 for a lot of people, where I think teams have to find where it applies to them and where they can use it as a tool and just leave it at that and never substitute it for player evaluation overall.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, I think, to, you know, for people who are scouts and GMs and players, you know, they can certainly see things in the game that I don't see. So anything that gives me a tool to maybe help pick up on things that I wouldn't otherwise notice. And I think sometimes the numbers and the way they break them down and the way players are used, offensive zone face-offs, you know, all kinds of stuff, sort of gives people like myself an opportunity to see other elements of the game. So I think you're right. It's kind of a copycat thing now. But on the other hand, I think, you know, the genie's out of the lamp. I think we're going to be seeing this used more and more, not less and less.
Damian, based on the game tonight, and I know we're only five games into this season, but, you know, what are the signs for you? You know, has this team improved? I mean, the changes with Brendan, bringing in a couple of new assistant coaches. I mean, basically exchanging your role players, so to speak. Yeah, you brought a couple of older guys on the back end, but, you know, you took McClemmon out, Kuhlman, you brought in Boo, Santarelli. Like, what do you think of this team in this early going?
Well, I mean, I go back, whenever I talk about this year's team, I go back to last March. Mid-March, they beat Anaheim in Anaheim, beat L.A. in L.A. They were well and comfortably in a playoff position. They gave up a lot of shots. Their penalty killing wasn't strong, but their big guy scored. Their goaltending was really strong. Goalie gets hurt, the whole thing goes down. And now you see them make a few moves. I think some of the moves are probably useful and probably will be. Their penalty killing's much better this season, you know. But if the big guys don't play, Kessel, Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, Phaneuf, if those guys don't play at a pretty high level consistently, they're not going to go anywhere. And you know, tonight was a night I thought, you know, we spent a lot of time. We focus on the Leafs. I thought the Detroit Red Wings were pretty darn good tonight. You know, they did a lot of smart things, gave up very little, moved the puck, and Zetterberg was great. So, you know, to beat teams who are relatively comparable like that, the Leafs are going to have to get way better performances from their big guns on this conversation. I mean, it begins and ends right there.
I know you had a busy night. We appreciate you joining us. So I just want one more quick one before I let you go, since you're talking about the Wings and the subplot about Mike Babcock. And it's funny. Talk to Ken Holland on Hockey Central at noon. He kind of says, "Well, we don't really want to talk about it, but I'm talking about it now because we answered the question." But what do you think the strategy he's trying to get out of this season, and obviously promoting himself and trying to figure where he can make one big hit next year? Do you think it's with the Red Wings or somebody else?
Well, I think the Red Wings know that they can't afford to pay him what a team like Toronto can pay him. I mean, this goes back to the good old days, right, Ozzy, when there was no salary cap. And, you know, that's why Gord Stellick was able to build those powerhouses he did. He didn't have to deal with a salary cap. Well, for coaches, there's no salary cap. And the Leafs have more money than anybody in the National Hockey League. And if they want to pay him, whatever, Detroit knows that they can't match that. So is he driven by dollars? Maybe. Is he driven by power to possibly be a GM coach or a role like Patrick Waugh has in Colorado that he's not going to get in Detroit? Maybe. It seems to me, more than anything, he wants to be a free agent. You know, at the end of next summer, he wants to be able to choose. I want to go back to Detroit or I want to go someplace else. Who can begrudge a man the right to choose when he's been, you know, he's done a pretty good job there for a long time.
Well, I certainly has. And Damian, great work tonight. And again, a little bit of tribute on the way out. Maybe here's something you might want to try for Saturday. Here, test this one out.
Yep. Oh.
Let's hear the lyrics here.
I know this one.
Yeah?
Them boots are made for walking.
That's it. That's right, you know? I don't know, maybe some boots or something like that on Saturday, okay. Sunday. We love it. The Damian fashion. Don Cherry, watch out. Damian Cox.
Look what you started. Look what you started.
I know. Thanks a lot, Damian.
See you guys. Have a good one.
See ya. Damian Cox joining us, of course, from the those shoes. I like those shoes. I tweeted about them last Thursday, the blue suede shoes. And Mike Babcock, obviously, and we're going to get Helene St. James on in a second, and the Detroit angle. And let's face it, it comes down to, hey, Scotty Bowman was the same. Why do you think Scotty Bowman left Pittsburgh to go to Detroit in the first place? He became the first $1 million-a-year coach. And it's funny, after you were the guys that did it in 93 when the Leafs eliminated them, and I remember Cliff Fletcher saying, Mike Gilich is going to hire Scotty as the first $1 million-a-year coach.
Yeah, you know what? And so that point that Damian did make about, you know, that the Red Wings couldn't afford Mike Babcock. I mean, during the heyday of the Red Wings, I mean, were they not up near the top of the salary food chain? Like, so how are they any different than the Maple Leafs back then? Even back then, they were near the top.
Well, we'll find out.
Rangers, Leafs, Red Wings.
Well, Helene St. James joining us. We'll talk about that from the Detroit angle. How are you tonight?
Great. How are you?
We're good. Well, you know, we want to talk about the game. It's Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Leafs Nation postgame. But, of course, the Mike Babcock story, I was just saying that we kind of got Ken Holland to talk about it, and you say the company line when we had him on Hockey Central at noon. I know this morning the PR department said that he would not be responding to any questions about his coaching status, just wanted to talk about the hockey team. What's the sense you get, Helene, about Mike Babcock's end game? Will it come down to Do-Re-Mi at the end of it all, looking at his next coaching position in Detroit or somewhere else?
Yeah, you know, I think that's absolutely dead on. You know, all along, it doesn't make sense for a guy to say, oh, yeah, I want to come back for sure, right? I mean, he's got to, you know, look at it from a negotiation standpoint. So I know the Wings are trying very hard to sign him, and they're aware that they're probably going to have to go to $3 million a season, which would make Mike the highest paid coach. Right now it's Cornwall at 2.7, I believe. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think Mike has a great situation in Detroit, great ownership, very passionate fan base, original six teams, but not quite the, dare I say, insanity that comes with having to do with hockey in Toronto. So, you know, the biggest question for him is probably, you know, does he want to go somewhere else? Does he want to go to the hockey Mecca? And, you know, are the Toronto Maple Leafs going to just throw even more money at him than the Detroit Red Wings are willing to do?
Helene, you know, these Red Wings, I mean, I look at this team and I think of how Mike Babcock, I think, squeezes more out of this particular group, I think, than probably any other NHL you know, coach, you know, thus far. I've seen Jimmy Devolano over the years, you know, watching the games here, and he keeps on telling me every year, oh, gee, you know, I don't know if we can do it this year. You know, these guys are getting older.
Can't you do a better impersonation of Jimmy D than that? Okay.
Well, I was going to say, that's fantastic.
Well, because I remember a phone call I got from Jimmy D in the summer of 1983. He goes, hello, Mark. We've made a deal and you're involved. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, a great performance tonight. You know, the structure is just so evident, you know, once again, that the Red Wings, you know, they managed to find ways to win, and their foot soldiers come to play, their top line. I mean, 8 points, Zetterberg, 4 assists. Where does this team really, and the expectations, where are they going from here moving forward?
You know, I think these past couple of games have been very interesting, because Wednesday night against Boston, as a team, they really didn't play well, but they got a point out of that, and that was because of Jimmy Howard. And it's been hugely important to see him have such a good response this season, because he was very average last season, is not below average. And I think that's one of the interesting things about last season is, in my opinion, Mike Babcock really had a great case for why he should have been coach of the year, because he got the Wings into the playoffs without great goaltending and with two of the biggest stars each missing half a season. So, you know, tonight you see Henrik Zetterberg, what a proud guy he is. I mean, he comes back, you know, every single time he touches the puck, something good happens. So, you know, in power play, they need to get that going. You know, that I think that really misses Pavel Datsyuk. But just the way he's teaching the young guys to play with a blueprint. You know, I mean, look at Gustav Nyquist. Every single time he touches the puck, it goes in. So it was interesting last season to see him just embrace the young players, because he began last season by saying, you know, tie goes to the veteran. If it's between Dan Cleary or Gustav Nyquist, Dan Cleary's in the lineup. Well, you know, ties these days goes to the young guys, because they're the ones coming through.
This team nowadays, it's, you know, they look like a Stanley Cup team still when they play the Toronto Maple Leafs. To be the gold standard has been phenomenal for so many years. But this time when Yzerman and Shanahan left, for example, there weren't Zetterberg and Datsyuk just quickly to move up. So that was a luxury a few years ago. Where do you have this team if you're rating them, like your power rankings? Like at the end of the year, how far do you think they should go in the playoffs based on ability?
Well, if they're healthy, I don't see why they can't. I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe even going to the Eastern Conference Final. I mean, you know, look at last year. Everybody thought, oh, Boston. Well, second round and Boston's out, right? I think that's what makes the NHL playoffs more fun to watch than any other playoffs, because often it's a 7 or 8 seed that goes much further. Detroit Red Wings finished 3 points behind the New York Rangers this past season. So I'll admit I've been surprised to see how many people are saying, oh, this is the year the Detroit Red Wings playoff streak ends. I'm not sure why. If they can be just a little bit healthier, and already, you know, Zetterberg looks like he had the right off season for him, you know. Datsyuk is expected back by the end of next week. So they can be a little bit healthier, especially with those two guys. And then they have the continued growth of the young guys, and Jimmy Howard continues a bounce back season. Why on earth wouldn't they be there yet again next May?
Helen, one of your key free agent acquisitions last season was Steven Weiss, limited to only 26 games last year, has yet to play this year. What is his status? Because he's probably one of the guys you're talking about. If Datsyuk comes back and Steven Weiss perhaps lives up to some expectations and, you know, plenty of reasons why the Red Wings had signed him to begin with.
Yeah, you know, it was very unfortunate what happened with him last season. Now, I actually thought he had a perfectly okay training camp, you know, maybe not quite enough. But I think we have to remember, he has not played hockey, competitive hockey, in 10 months. That's a long, long layoff. He's working very hard in practice. Right now, Johan Franzen left tonight's game with a cramp in his leg. I talked to him afterwards. He said hopefully it'll go away tomorrow. He didn't rule out being able to play tomorrow night. But if he can't play, Steven Weiss is certainly the go-to guy next in line. So I think he just needs to get in some games, get a little bit of confidence, you know. But no question that it's not ideal for him to start as a healthy scratch.
I just want to ask you as well, just before we let you go, we're talking about the coaching situation in Toronto. Sorry, I was just looking at the game and a little kid got hit by the puck in Vancouver, but he's okay. So that caught me a little bit there. Don't see that as often. But are Brendan Shanahan and Mike Babcock tight in the sense like there's always an assumption guys know each other. So, but quite often it's maybe not as deep or as tight as people think it is. I mean, do you think Brendan Shanahan would be a guy that unabashedly would go and try to get Mike Babcock here if he can, or do you think they just had a good time together, they won together, and, you know, that's really about it?
I hear they go on safari together every summer. No, I'm kidding. You know, I think that they're certainly friendly with each other, like you said. I mean, everybody in hockey tends to get to know one another after seeing each other for several years, so I don't know that there's a especially close connection, you know, and I think as far as the coaching, Mike's, you know, being professional about it, looking at it from a standpoint of, okay, who's going to be my next employer. But I have to ask you guys something before we finish this. How much does a Maple Leafs jersey cost? Because I cannot believe somebody would just throw one on the ice. That's got to be a couple $100, right?
Well, you know something, it's got to be. And just before you came on, Helene, Damian Cox was on, and apparently what they're trying to track down, they found out that it was a Montreal Canadian fan, this is the story, that threw it on because he realized it was one way of getting attention. So Damian has his phone number and is going to try to, and a few of the media are going to try to contact this guy who just decided, because, you know, you're right about it. I mean, nowadays, to be displeased and to throw a $200 jersey, whatever, on the ice, that's going a big way. But apparently Damian said that's the skinny they're getting right now.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, creative, right?
Exactly. Well, it's always fun to come here, and but I have to admit, I'm always happy to go back to Detroit. Little more sane, you know. We have a little Detroit Lions football club that's
they're playing better,
taking up most of their attention now.
Yeah. Helene, one final question. You know, Gustav Nyquist, 28 goals, I believe, last year in 57 games. He got his fourth tonight. How far can this guy get? I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of talent there, and it doesn't seem as though he's taken a step backwards of which some players do, right? With a sophomore jinx, he looks like he's just taken right back off from what he did last season.
Yeah, exactly. It was there was a lot of talk in exhibition season about, you know, the young guys, especially with him, is he going to be able to duplicate that now that everybody knows, oh, hey, that number 14, we've got to watch out for him. It's been the best possible start for him. But, you know, you see him, especially Wednesday night against Boston, he got the puck on a power play, and he just it was like he had all the time in the world to make a great shot. I mean, he's so smart. I think that's the biggest key, because that doesn't leave you whether you're in a slump or scoring, you know. So I think he knows that he can score, and that's why he's already been so successful. He's also playing, you know, with tremendously talented players and getting out on the first power play unit, which never hurts a guy either.
Well, it's certainly, wow, I said he scored every period against us. We noticed it last year, Gustav Nyquist, as far as it went. So Red Wings, big 4-1 win. You get to go back to the home of the Detroit Lions, and I don't know, the Pistons and everything else, but the Red Wings as well.
Nyquist is your new Alfredson.
That's it. That's not a bad way to be. So, Helene, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Helene St. James from the Detroit Free Press talking about those Red Wings.
32 goals in 61 games, his last 61 games. How's that? That's pretty darn good.
What's a guy on a 40-goal season pace, right?
I think that's correct.
That's accurate, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Now, we're going to come back. We will hear from James Reimer, Mike Santarelli, Randy Carlyle. Do we have any out-of-town scores, Ozzie, to look at?
We've got
talk. I mean, actually,
all sorts of out-of-town scores. You know, of note, 20 seconds left in Edmonton in the second period, and Vancouver, Radim Verbata has the Canucks up 1-0 on the Edmonton Oilers. The Minnesota Wild are 1-0. They're in the lead in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want any more, or do we want to stop there?
No, keep going.
Okay, well, and four finals to report. Florida 1-0 winners in Buffalo. Roberto Luongo with his 67th shutout of his career. The Blue Jackets defeat Calgary 3-2. Of note, Ryan Johansson with his third of the season. And Josh Jurich, Burlington boy.
There you go.
You know, rookie, I believe it's his first game. He gets his first goal, first career game, first goal. And in Winnipeg, the Nashville Predators defeat the Winnipeg Jets 2-0. Mike Ribeiro with his second, and James Neal with his first. Pekka Rinne with the shutout.
Now, why I'm a little bit confused here, not by your incredible rendition of the out-of-town scores. So Vancouver has announced their team sellout streak is over after 474 games. Began on November 14th, 2002. They ended it last season, sold out their opener. This means the streak will end with a visit from Tampa Bay Lightning, who play at Rogers Arena tomorrow night. So, I mean, isn't there still a chance they could sell out tomorrow?
I would think so.
Maybe
Gord,
that's what
I
they're
mean,
trying to do. I don't quite get it. But the streak's over, they say, at 474 games, but they still have a chance to sell out tomorrow.
Hmm.
And the other note is, in Edmonton, that's why I was double-checking, is Dave Nonis is at that game. He's sitting with Jim Benning. So I thought, you know, I know Vancouver, he's got some roots there in that, but Dave Nonis is in Edmonton of all places, so go figure.
Okay, well.
Maybe chatting with Dallas Eakins, maybe looking at trades that we can talk about tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure that all of the above.
Well, why don't we chat about when we come back, and of course, don't forget Hockey Nation tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m., and we'll count down to the Toronto Maple Leafs hoping for redemption, hoping, like Phil Kessel says, we'll do better tomorrow. Hopefully he and other players figure that out tomorrow. They didn't tonight. It was a 4-1 win for the Detroit Red Wings over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be back with more Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Goes high in the side of the goal. Here's Nyquist trying to center. He does. They score. Nyquist with a perfect centering pass. And it was Abdul Kader heading to the front of the net. The Red Wings have restored the 3-goal lead.
Well, there it was. Justin Abdul Kader heading to the front of the net. As they said, the 3-goal lead. That was it. 4-1. The Detroit Red Wings over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan, we'll hear from Randy Carlyle and a few of the Leaf players in a few minutes' time, Ozzie.
Yeah, you know what, Gord? I was just doing a little statistical research
early in this season.
You like what? This is the first time I've done it.
Okay.
So, goals against. We've given up 18 goals in the first five games of the season. Only Edmonton and the Rangers have given up, you know, more.
Right.
You know, we're tied with
3.60 per game. Yeah.
Yeah, we're tied with Montreal and Buffalo. And, you know, you look at the top teams and, you know, their goals against are really stellar. Like, stellar.
Mm.
And look at the Red Wings, okay? Four games, seven goals against.
Wow, 1.75.
Okay. So what does that tell you? You know, is it personnel? Is it coaching? Like, what is it about playing without the puck or team defense? Like, what do you think about that? Or is it a combination of both?
Well, mathematically, the Leafs have given up twice as many goals against per game as the Red Wings have. So that explains a lot of things if you're trying to finish ahead of Detroit. That's, you know, they lost. They were expecting to lose Nick Lidstrom. Mm-hmm. They weren't expecting to lose Brian Rafalski. Right. That was a big loss for them. And here they're rebuilding. And like you say, why can't the Leafs or any other NHL team play a certain kind of defensive system the same way a Red Wing team is without as many star players as they had 6-7 years ago?
Okay, who's the coach in Washington now?
Coach in Washington?
Barry Trotz,
yeah.
Okay. Washington Capitals. All right. What's been the knock against them?
Well, okay. Defense.
Yeah, you know what? Four games played. They've given up 8 goals, 2.00.
Yeah, but the knock against Barry Trotz at the end of Nashville was it was fine to play that system.
Okay.
But it also didn't give you playoff success ultimately, too.
Okay.
So, Roger, that's what Roger Nielsen always did, right?
Just throwing it out there.
This is exactly what Roger Nielsen would do with a new team. Mm-hmm. Knock down the goals against, and they would play more respectable.
Okay.
But then he never got the team to the promised land.
Well, it's funny, you know, St. Louis, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles, Chicago. What's the common theme? Oh, those teams all get in the playoffs. Thank you.
Did you want to go to tape? You made your point. That was great. I just didn't get you thanking yourself at the end, but thank you,
anyways,
Ozzie, on behalf of the listeners. That's true. That's a good point. Well, let's hear what Randy Carlyle, if only he'd heard that stuff before. But here he is after tonight's 4-1 loss.
How's that, Brandon?
Cozen will have an MRI done. Right now it looks like it quite possibly could be a high ankle sprain. So we don't know, and he will not travel with us. He will get an MRI done tomorrow.
The effort tonight, what did you think of it? Disappointed?
Extremely disappointed. I think the true tell sign for us as a coaching staff, when we looked at the first period, we had 11 turnovers and 4 offsides. And we're a hockey club that has to establish that forecheck and get pucks in and go to work. And it seemed like we refused to do that. And, you know, they get the goal and we didn't seem to be able to get our game. And then we started taking penalties. Played too much on our heels and in the defensive zone.
How do you cut down those goals in critical areas?
Well, 2 goals were goal mouth passes, so we obviously missed assignments. Can't blame your goalie for scoring from the crease, you know, tap in. So we missed assignments there, but it was the way that we had played through the neutral ice that gave us all the problems here. We did not establish a consistent forecheck, and the adversity that we had to deal with, we didn't deal with it very well. They moved the puck, and they were a better hockey club than we were in a lot of areas tonight. The only positive that I can take out of tonight, looking at it, was that our penalty killing stood tall, but we gave them too many opportunities to practice their power play, that's for sure.
Zetterberg's line obviously had a very strong game tonight. What will you have to do to try to slow them down tomorrow?
Well, the first thing is that the number of times that they were allowed to get through the neutral ice and with us turning the puck over, you cannot turn the puck over when you play any team in the NHL as many times as we did tonight. And the Detroit Red Wings are a prime example. They took advantage of our turnovers. And then when we did enter the zone, and when you go offside the number of times that we've been guilty of going offside here, it takes a lot of momentum and it kills your spirit.
Any thoughts on why you guys didn't get maybe more of a push after making it 3-1 early in the third?
Yeah, it's, you know, we lost Cozen and then our bench shortened with Winnick going out, so it was kind of like we got mixed up lines, and then you're trying to spread it out because of the game tomorrow night. You don't want to use everybody for, you know, you want to save as much energy as you possibly can, but we didn't seem to be able to mount much. They scored a goal to make it 4-1, and that seemed to be the hockey game there.
You want to make this place a hard place for other teams to come into?
We've talked about that, and we're not going to do that if you turn the puck over 11 times and you go offside 4 times in the first period. That's just unacceptable.
Are you surprised that other teams have success here?
Well, I'm surprised that we haven't played to the level we're capable of, and I'm surprised that we will not, for whatever reason is we find ways to make life more difficult for ourselves, and that's the most frustrating part.
Exact opposite start of last year. You go back to last year, the team was winning games. They weren't playing well. Do you think that this could be a blessing in disguise? Is there such thing that, you know, they're 1-3 in their first four games at home. And, you know, except for the game against Colorado the other night, it's been very, you know, the first game, we can throw that out the window. It was, a little, you know, some lucky bounces. But,
I think you're absolutely right. Although, you know, if you're a Leaf fan, some people kidded, okay, it's okay to be 0-2 because look what happened last year. Well, you'd always want to be 2-0 rather than 0-2. But I think that, and it was funny, when they were winning, it was kind of like, and I know you have two daughters and I have two kids, and it's like your kid getting away doing well at school without studying. And it's bugging you because they're supposed to study, but they just, for whatever reason, they go through 2/3 of their school year and they don't study despite what you say. And they come back, oh, look, I got 85.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, final exam time, they get killed. And that's what almost happened last year. And with all these analytics, it was actually these stats, a lot of them that were saying, this doesn't make any sense. It's going to catch up to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And whether it's common sense or the analytics, it did. Mm-hmm. So I think in some ways, this is a better reflection of what the team really is and needs to work on, where last year they got passing grades and more without studying.
I know, but you know what? You look back to last year and it's still the things that you needed to work on was a given. Still coming into this year, you know, shots were too many. Defensive play wasn't good enough and your penalty kill wasn't very good. So if there's a positive maybe that you can take out of, you know, tonight, you know, 5 Red Wing penalties you kill off. I think the penalty killing has been an improvement this year. That's a positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your third line, I think, has been a positive. So I know that we're reaching a little bit in some respects, but yet, those are the things I think that's what Randy talked about as well.
But, you know, as well, I can remember talking to coaches and you have a winning streak. And one thing they would say when a winning streak ended, well, at least the guys will be listening tomorrow. You know, and that's the thing when you win, it's harder to get them to adhere to the system you're trying to implement because they're having success, rightly, wrongly.
No, absolutely. You know what? Go back to this week. Okay, big win. Day off on Wednesday. Went back to practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for whatever reason, just, turnovers in the neutral zone, just the feet weren't moving. It was just puzzling in some respects, right? When you've got this team coming in your building for a home and home,
yeah,
and you're basically flat,
yeah,
that's
the yeah, part and you're rested. And there's no excuses, and you have momentum from the last two W's, and that's why they play the games. Unfortunately,
yeah. No, you know, and case in point, what jumped out at me as well is, you know, Naz, for instance, you know, in the second line role again, that, you know, just indifferent, right? Like,
yeah,
we're talking about Jay Gardner being in the press box, and this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy too.
Well, we're trying to get Jake Gardner and Nazem Kadri, if you're a Leaf organization, to grab the brass ring about being a top two defenseman or a second line center, where Tyler Bozak did it kind of quietly. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just kind of quiet, but eventually earned being a number one center for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're right. Right now, James Reimer, because I want to hear from him, what do you think of his performance tonight?
Well, I mean, how many goals were of the tap-in variety out of the four? Three.
Yeah.
Three of them. And the Nyquist goal in the second period, right down the pipe, unobstructed. You know, you look at that and go, I was surprised that went in. and, you know, could he have come out and challenged a little bit more or read the play a little bit more? And let's give credit to a guy who scored 28 goals last year. So,
well, let's give credit to James Reimer as well. Two wins and tonight, really, whether it was his best effort or not, it was kind of irrelevant. Played well enough. Goals were really the kind you couldn't make any saves on. And Randy
Carlson, I probably would have put Bernier in after the second period.
Well, what, to give him a period to get ready for tomorrow?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and also, it was the Detroit game where Randy Carlisle said he played good enough last year. That would Reimer, good enough? So here's Reimer post-game, which I don't think he had any inkling. Carlisle just said nothing about good enough tonight. Here's James Reimer.
Not the result you wanted, but you look like you're sometimes one against the Detroit Red Wings out there.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, definitely not the result we wanted as a team. You know, obviously we came in here wanting to get a win, and you know, I don't think we play up to the standard that we're capable of, and myself included. You know, it's you know, I got to find a way to come up with a couple big saves there to keep it close.
Find it a little chaotic in front at the time, especially when the goals were happening. So it's like bounce there, bounce here.
Yeah, well, they're a good team, and they bring bodies to the net, and sometimes you get those bounces. You know, the puck goes over someone's stick and lands on, you know, somebody else's right back door, and so, you know, they made a couple of good plays, and they put pucks in it with bodies there, and they're rewarded. I mean, you know, I'd like to think in another game I'd come up with a couple of good saves, or pucks would roll off their sticks, or wouldn't happen as clean as they normally would there, but that's the case. I mean, you know, sometimes things click for the other squad, and you know, you're just trying your best to halt it. But sometimes things don't go your way.
Were you surprised the team wasn't able to generate momentum given the penalty kill and how well they did it on five occasions tonight?
Yeah, I thought our PK was great again. You know, I think it's something that's really stepped up in the last couple of games and you know, been a big part of our success. And tonight again, I mean, it would have been if we would have could have grabbed some momentum. You know, it's too bad that we weren't able to generate some.
You know what I want to say? If I hear another person talk about that our goalie gave us a chance to win, you know, that's probably the biggest pet peeve that I hear coaches and everybody saying, well, he gave him a chance to win tonight. I mean, isn't that what the goalie's supposed to do? Like, why do we talk like in those types of terms?
Well, it's I
think he was good enough to give us a chance to win. He gave us a chance to win tonight. Like, make some saves. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's what your goaltender's supposed to do.
Well, it's almost like the reluctance to single out goaltending, although that's changed a bit. So that's kind of code for he didn't suck. He gave us a chance to win, where before you could never single the guy out. The best, worst
this,
you could say,
he played good enough. This is just a new terminology the last couple of years. It just is really kind of bugging me.
Well, let's hear what Mike Santorelli had to say. He gets the only goal tonight. You mentioned the third line with Komarov and Clarkson's been the least most consistent line over the five games.
Play the way we need to do it in order to succeed.
At least killed off a pretty good power play of theirs. In that respect, I guess you guys have to be happy.
Yeah, we did. We killed off a couple of power plays early, but 5-on-5, we weren't anywhere near where we needed to be in order to be successful.
After your goal there, did you feel like there was a bit of a spark that you guys could have taken advantage of? Didn't exactly work out though.
Yeah, no, you know, all game we didn't, like I said, all game we didn't really get in on the, we didn't get on the forecheck. We had too many turnovers, and we got to limit those because a team like that can make you pay.
So is it pretty easy to have a back-to-back against the same team in order to put it behind you? Is that almost help in a way?
Well, I think it's never easy. I think every game's, you know, is a new day, a new battle. So we got to, you know, focus on the areas we struggled on tonight and improve on those areas and get back to what we need to do.
Were you surprised, and I got in here late, sorry about this, but in terms of generating momentum, you guys had two really good shifts to open up the third period.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put a whole string of shifts together, and can't just be two shifts, but, you know, towards a new day, we need to find a way.
In terms of, I'm just asking James about Zetterberg and what he brings to a game and just how difficult it is to read, given the talents that he showed out there tonight.
Yeah, he's definitely he's one of the best players in the world for a reason. So, you know, you got to be aware when he's on the ice, and he hurt us tonight.
Home ice advantage hasn't been this season. Is this just going to be a matter of time before maybe a better record evolves here?
Yeah, we need to kind of figure it out here. This is our home ice here. We need to, you know, we need to be homers, so. We got to put up better results here at home.
Well, big story. That was Mike Santarelli. Jake Gardner back in the lineup after visiting the press box. Not a great game for him, but he certainly wasn't alone as far as the Leaf D went. Here he is a little bit after tonight's game.
How challenging was that as a group defensively back here in your own zone, given the way Zetterberg and company were moving tonight?
Yeah, that team has so much skill and speed, and we just got to, you know, try and slow them down in the neutral zone. We have to work on some things and look over some video for tomorrow.
And I guess try to outwork them as well. It seemed they were always on the puck.
Yeah, it seemed like there was, you know, I don't know if they were playing man-on-man or what, but it seemed like there was guys, they had more players on the ice than we did. And like I said, we got to look at some things and fix it.
Is there something that Zetterberg does that maybe makes him different from some of the stars in your face?
He's really smart, I know that. I mean, he just see the little plays he makes of the stick, and he sees the ice so well, and he's a great player.
Jake, do you feel that you did enough tonight to make a positive impression with the coaches?
I hope so. Thought I played okay. I can still improve on some things, and yeah, hopefully I'm in the lineup tomorrow. We'll see.
Penalty kill. I know you're watching it, but what did you see and like that allowed the team to kill five of them off there tonight?
Yeah, that was good. I mean, when we take penalties, it's kind of a momentum killer, but then when we kill them off, that's huge. We've had some great new additions to our team this year. You know, Winnick and Cozy, obviously, you got dinged up tonight, but they've been awesome for us. Komarov, and if they can keep doing that, we're going to win a lot of games.
And back-to-back games, looking forward to get back in. It's a short flight, and you get a chance to see these guys yet again.
Yeah, get some redemption. Hopefully tomorrow's a better outcome.
Well, it is a short flight. That was Jake Gardner. And Ozzie, you get a quick last word. Who sits out tomorrow?
Well, you know what? I know we had a tough night tonight. -3. Roman Polak, who, you know, appears to have struggled a little bit. I'd say you keep Gardner in and Riley, and we'll go and give Polak a healthy scratch and let him watch for a little
bit. Well, we'll talk more about it, of course, Hockey Nation, tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m. We'll count down to the Leaf game. All the action tomorrow night on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you've been listening tonight to Leafs Nation postgame, a 4-1 loss to the Red Wings. Stellick and Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Listening to Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne, brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.